Hey there. Welcome back to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that's guaranteed to make your life a little brighter. Joining me today is the host, Carrie Elizabeth Jones, New York Times and internationally best-selling children's book author.
And also here is co-host, because we're co-hosts, Sean Farrar. He used to be a cop. Now he's not. Now he's a business owner. Boom. So join us as we give you life tips, dog tips, writing tips, and are just overall quirky.
That's right.
You ready, babes?
I'm ready. Let's roll. Random thought time.
So we're in the car.
And it just started raining.
Can you hear the rain?
Probably all I can hear.
And the air conditioner. So I just brilliantly said something and Sean made fun of it.
Anybody that doesn't make fun of it is crazy. Do you want me to tell him?
Yeah.
Do you want me to give him the background?
Is there a background?
Well, just that you were trying to sound kind of southern.
Dude,
I won't say
I'm
what
so
kind of southern.
Good at southern.
And then I said something she felt like she should be threatening, so she said, I've got my death grip eye on you. And I said, what? Because I've never heard of a death grip eye. Like my third eye, my wonky eye.
I have a wonky eye sometimes.
All right, see? That must be your death grip.
No, it's like, all right, it's like you got an evil eye, you got right. Laser eyes, you got killer eyes, like kill you eyes. You got this guy from the Faulkners, dude. The Faulker, sorry, who like does his thing with his fingers and his eyes, like I'm watching.
Right.
So death grip eye just means I'm watching you so hard
so
that you are locked in the embrace of my eyeballs.
Death grip.
Death grip. It makes so much sense.
So instead of pointing at your eyes and then the other person, you like make a fist at your eyes.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. All you gotta do is just turn your fist around like that. Dang, I'm still scared, baby.
You should be.
My heart was racing.
Dude, I got my death grip eye on you.
It was like adrenaline dump when you said that.
You know
scared.
What I sound like? I sound like one of them British actors trying to sound southern. I have perfected British actor trying to sound southern accent. I could be on The Walking Dead. I could be on the Charlaine Harris True Blood series if that still existed. Because everybody was British or from New Zealand. Pretending to be southern.
I want
to
drink your blood.
I want to drink your... Sookie.
That's not British, though.
Sookie. That was the main character in that.
Really?
I want... Somebody listening to this might not know.
Oh, I barely know. I totally believe somebody might not know.
Jeez.
So when do we have shrimp grits?
We're going to have cheesy grits with shrimp in them.
For a freaking New England person, Carrie makes really good grits.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can combine her cooking and southern grits of quality, whew, what a dish that would be.
I know. You
it's
need
good.
To have southern grits and coffee.
It's good. No, shrimp.
Oh, shrimp.
Because shrimp up your suck.
But, dude, this that's like a book title right there. Southern,
the shrimp suck?
No. Wait. Southern grits of quality.
Yeah, but I said shrimp.
I know, but what else? Doesn't
southern
matter
shrimp
what you
of
said.
Quality.
I was giving you props for making a really cool book title.
Southern grits of quality?
Yeah.
What is it? Do you know how many different definitions there are for grits? I mean, what they mean? Okay, there's like, kiss my grits.
Exactly.
So you know what grits are there, right?
The
kiss my
stuff.
Ass.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it could mean southern butt of quality.
Right, that's what
that's even more brilliant.
Okay, so maybe it's a plastic surgeon's office's name. No, Southern Grits Quality.
No.
We'll make your grits
and
tight.
True grit. Grit means what then?
Like toughness.
Toughness. And then grits you actually eat.
Right.
Which I would really like some right now. We're really punchy because we're hungry.
She wouldn't even let me eat lunch.
And we're driving. It was really. Oh, I can't talk negatively.
No, she just wouldn't let me eat lunch.
That's not true.
She did give me like a couple bites of raw fish for breakfast stuff. I feel like I'm. Never mind.
We're on our way to a book panel that's like 3 hours away. We had to go to a Rotary meeting, which I had to preside over, and then leave early over, and then because we had to get here, and we're super super hungry.
Starved.
And,
I'm emaciating as I drive.
Emaciating. And we have to go to a middle grade panel, and I always get a little anxious when we drive. But I also get a little anxious when I have to go do a middle grade panel. Right?
Man, she's not kidding. Just a little. You're not kidding about it just being just a little. So I've seen much worse.
You're so mean.
Huh?
I
am supportive.
That does not sound supportive.
You know what? Here's the thing, babe.
I don't.
You're one of the. I know this is a panel, and you don't like panels, but because you're like the best speaker I've ever seen that wasn't making money at it. I mean, if you had a headset and you practiced a skit, you'd like kick Tony Robbins' ass. No, you wouldn't be a dispatcher. We're talking about making money as a motivational speaker or just a paid speaker. As like an author.
I know, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm doing a middle
grade panel. I know, you're doing a panel.
And everyone always likes boys more, and there's boys on the panel.
But the thing
is...
And
everyone always likes illustrators more, and there's, I think, illustrators on the panel. And everyone always likes...
But it's only for 2 hours, and then we'll go out and have some oysters.
Okay.
And besides, every time you open your mouth on the panel, it takes you like 3 seconds to establish yourself as the most intelligent person there.
That's so not true.
And then, that's why you only get to talk for a minute, because everybody starts talking over you from that point on. They're like, don't let that girl talk anymore.
I don't establish myself. I establish myself as quirky.
No, it comes out. It's not like you mean to do it. It just flows. As soon as you open your mouth, it's like a blanket over everybody else. Boom.
That's so not true.
It is true. From under their blanket, they're like, don't let that girl talk anymore. Shut her up.
And I'm like, no, I'm talking now. And I hold down the blanket, and they all suffocate.
They all start, they overwhelm you and talk over you.
No, but there's always someone on a panel. Oh, we could write, this could be the worst people to have on a panel with you.
Or don't be afraid of a panel. Type of thing. Either way, go for it.
All right.
It's your job.
So there's always someone on the panel. Talks forever and it's boring and I always get really really bored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And
a lot of times it's the moderator.
And then there's always the constant pitcher. So like the constant pitcher is always pitching their books. So they're like, okay, so in my book Flying, there's a girl and it's Buffy and meets Men in Black, and it's like this, and then it's like this, so it's sort of like, oh, you know the CW series? That's what it's like, and then my best friend, and then they start to become the name dropper, so they'll be like, oh, my best friend John Green, and then, you know, blah, 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 and when I was hanging out with Chris Evans, and then I was like, with the full band of 30 Seconds to Mars, because I was their groupie at the time.
Baby,
but then
what? I think we got it.
Oh, all right.
You're always telling me I'm making the podcast too long. Keep going, though. So don't be that person.
Don't be the Interruptosaurus, which is the Sean on the panel.
Oh, there's plenty of those, too. I was just interjecting, making sure he got mentioned.
Then there's always Captain Negative or Captainess Negative. And they're always like, well, you know, most writers don't make any money.
Maybe it's just a marketing technique. Like, we're going to keep the competition out.
I don't know, maybe.
Don't be a writer.
And then there's also always the suck up. I love librarians and teachers. This is me doing it. But there's always someone just trying a little bit too hard to suck up to the librarians and teachers as a demographic rather than treating them as actual human beings who aren't just defined by their jobs. And that bothers me. There's the suck up ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smooth, baby.
And then the...
Nobody realized it. Sucked up a little bit, too.
But I don't like it when you group an entire demographic by their profession or by anything, honestly. And
no,
so then,
that's a major part of our American problem right now. But anyways.
And then there's also always someone who somehow thinks somebody is hot. There's like the author who's like, oh my god, my main character is so hot. He is so hot. Oh, you know, I have to fan myself off when I'm... And you're like, you're writing for middle graders. You're writing for young adults. Like, you're 87 years old. Calm down. That's a little creepy. There's always that person.
Yeah, you're right. There is. Yeah. Anyways, what's the point here?
I don't know. It's a random thought, man. It doesn't have to have a point.
Nobody said, oh, hey, we can make it about this.
Somewhere. Yeah, the types of authors on panels.
Oh, the bad ones.
Yeah.
The ones you don't want to be.
What you don't want to be.
Or you could be all of them one at a time and just evolve.
During one panel? Like, I could try to do that today!
There you go. I bet
that
you can't.
Amazing.
I bet you can't do four.
I can't do any, because that would just be wrong.
Four in one panel.
I wouldn't want to do that to people.
That's one per half hour, honey.
I could be like, name drop. I could be like, oh, I grew up with Sarah Silverman, and I babysat
right.
Seth at the Myers.
It's a challenge. I'll let you
and
know how to
do that. I can't do that. But I kind of want it.
All right,
bye.
Writing to the pod.
So this podcast is about how to hook your readers. The people who read your book.
You want to do that again?
No, we're not doing it again. When you read a book and when you remember a book, a lot of the time, it isn't the plot that you're remembering. It's the character that has held you enthralled.
That's true.
Plots are super important, but it's the character that things are happening to that really holds the plot together. A lot of stories fail because their main character is, well, he's boring. Or she's a little bit blah, and there's nothing about them that stands out. We remember the people who are larger than life. I know we've talked about it before, but it's super important. You want to make your characters outrageous, like those bad panelists we just talked about in the random thought. Make them all wild. We all love Captain America, but to be honest, he's not quite as memorable as the Hulk or Iron Man. So, Sean, you're going to tell us elements that can make a character larger than life. I'm sorry,
before
the dog is being a weirdo.
This sounds like a master's level question or something.
Oh, no, man.
But you made me think, what is more important? Memorable, relatable characters or a good plot?
There is no more important.
I thought that was going to be your answer.
Yeah, but
okay.
I would vote for characters, because then you can say you're being avant-garde and non-traditional and that your plot is episodic and blah, 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 blah. But truly, you need both.
Yeah, the story's got to be good, too.
Yeah.
All right, so here's some elements that can make a character larger than life. Strength and inner struggle. The Hulk is memorable because he has this intense inner struggle against his own rage and helplessness, but he always morphs into this huge beast with great strength. I really screwed that up.
No, you didn't, man.
But
that's on purpose. Are you having an inner struggle right now? Are you going to Hulk out?
Maybe.
That's a shot of... The
that
sound
was
of
Carrie, if you couldn't tell.
No, it wasn't. That was the sound of Sean hulking out, man.
She turned green, but she didn't hulk out.
Talk about self-sacrifice, number two.
How about wit? The real
right,
number
fine.
Two. Funny characters are hard to write, but they are so memorable. Iron Man, Deadpool, Sean, whoever it is, Chris Pratt plays in Guardian of the Galaxies. Those guys are funny. We remember them more than Hawkeye.
Is that the dude
from MASH?
No, not the guy with the arrows. See?
Oh yeah.
Sean can't remember Hawkeye.
Funny. funny. Plus, they've had standalone movies.
Poor Hawkeye. Do you get to talk about self-sacrifice now?
I talk about it every day, baby. Oh. The savior is memorable. What about the martyr?
They're kind of the same, man.
Alright. That ultimate self-sacrificing hero, like the unmemorable Captain America, ends up being memorable, even though his inner struggle isn't at all that.
It ain't all that, man.
Why? Because he's higher form of hero. He's good. He's so good.
He's so good.
He's so handsome. He's so American. Oh, God.
No, he's just so good inside. It's not about his physical appearance. Thor is hotter than Captain America.
Thor?
Yeah.
Well, that's because he's blonde.
But if Sean is blonde.
Oh, never mind. I'm not going to throw any.
And a little bit of a narcissist.
I'm not a narcissist. I'm just good looking.
So, all condensed, the writing tip of the pod is that Sean is a narcissist, but it's really don't be afraid to build the biggest, coolest character you can build.
Wait, don't stop that.
Please let me stop.
No, I just want, it's a disclaimer, because anybody that really knows me knows I don't really have much physical self-confidence.
Really?
Yeah, I don't walk around like I'm some sexy beast. I don't think that.
You don't think like, ooh, I'm strutting down the street.
No, never do I do.
Everybody look at me.
I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, I hope I don't trip in front of all these people.
That's not the impression you give, buddy.
I'm glad, but, you know.
Don't drink yet. It'll make a really big noise, and we already have Gabby panting.
I know. She's right under the table.
Yeah, that panting sound is not us.
No.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh!
30 more seconds. Tip for life. You gonna do it today?
Am I gonna do the dog tip for life?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can. All right, guys.
You don't have to. Let's just change up.
I know, but you did so much writing tip, man.
Okay.
All right. So the dog tip for life is don't be a stereotype. Be authentic. Be big. Be a characteristic. When I write about Gabby and Sparty, our dogs, on Twitter or Facebook, there she goes. I write about how Gabby's a protector and she's somewhat peace-loving and how Sparty is not barking right now because he's all about food, right, bud? He's like, yeah, I am about food, man. And that's who they are. They don't try to be the opposite, right? And their characteristic that defines them, I expand to make them memorable. And in your life, how does that work, Sean?
My life?
Yeah, everybody's life. Like, how can you take that doggy lesson of, like, being who you are and expanding it to be memorable?
You'd be a much better person if you can expand who you really are in your heart and your soul rather than trying to be somebody you're not. And then after a while, people are like, man, that guy's full of crap. Like, I mean, his character just sucks, literally and figuratively. Hey, Gabby, good girl.
So I was reading about how Anthony, how do you say his last name?
Bourdain.
People loved him more than people who were just cooks or foodies because he was so amazingly authentic himself. Sean is making Gabby bark at him because Sean, too, is amazingly authentic as himself. And the point is that you want to live your best life by making true connections, not fake fake connections, but real things. I don't know. Gabby obviously freaked out because Sean was wearing headphones, and apparently headphones are not real or authentic to the Gabs. There you go. Happy podcast, guys.
What?
Hey there. Thanks for listening. We really enjoy doing this for you. Remember to like, share, and hopefully positively comment on the website. And you can find the more serious version of this podcast in its written form on carriejonesbooks.blog or carriejonesbooks.com. And Carrie just had a book release last week, so
yay.
You should go buy it, because pretty soon we're going to have to pawn this microphone to pay the bills.
No. We're also on dogsaresmarterthanpeople.com, I think, and our websites are all pretty cool. And also, you can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or a whole bunch of other cool places. The music provided in this podcast also is amazing and available thanks to the Creative Commons. It is by Poddington Bear, and it's Asmas Reflash. Thank you very much.
You can tell who does all the technical stuff on this podcast. That'd be you, baby.
Oh, me.
You're amazing.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh, such a baby, sweetie. You're the best.
Oh, my gosh. I just love you so much.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Our dog's tearing up the couch.
And the other one? The other one just brought a roll of toilet paper from the bathroom. Which seems like an editorial commentary, honestly.
But they really are smarter than people.